from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Keep laughing. When John Lopez puts on this leather helmet.
We'll laugh last.
You're getting in the groove now, man.
I am in the groove.
As soon as you hear it's time to come back from break,
let's go.
Grab the helmet.
Strap up.
Helmet, headphones, microphone.
As he continues to pay off his bet against Sean Pendergast of the morning show, Payne Pendergast. Pendergast, a Notre Dame alum, you a A&M alum. Mm-hmm. His team beat your team, and thus you sang the fight song of Notre Dame, and you are wearing a football helmet all show long.
We'll see him again in the playoff.
Will you?
No, we won't.
Okay. Didn't you try to say that?
That's the Aggie I know.
There it is.
We won't.
There it is. We were talking last segment about Davis Mills getting his 1-year, $5 million extension for next season. That puts him in the range, at least, that puts him in the range of, I mentioned, what was it, Andy Dalton, in that range, and Drew Lock, both those guys making $5
million. Value, man.
Jarrett Stidham as well, which, to be fair, a little bit higher on the backup quarterback, you know, situation there.
But, yeah, but still value for what he is.
Well, I guess maybe not as high because, I mean, you got Taylor Heineke making $7 million. Why is Taylor Heineke making $7
million?
Why exactly is that happening? What did he do? Whose pictures does he have?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, goodness. God bless him. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that I always say that I would very much like to be.
Get yours.
Overpaid.
Yeah, get yours.
Right? I would love for somebody to be like, oh, man, he is making way more than he deserves. Yeah. Exactly.
You're making what?
Absolutely. Hey, man. That'd be great. But yeah, we were talking about Mills and somebody was like, what's the next tape? Pierce is a top 10 running back, backup running back. And I don't know that I'd go there. In fact, I don't know that anybody on this show believes that he should be running back too. However,
yeah,
when the Texans put out their unofficial depth chart earlier this week, he ended up being RB2 on there. He goes Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Dare Ogunbowale, and then Cam Akers fourth. British Brooks ends up fifth on there.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the depth chart is accurate and sometimes it's not.
It sounds about right, to be honest. They're going to give him every chance for him to be RB2.
I don't know.
If it don't work out, then you got Cam Akers right there.
They might give him a chance in this one game because they obviously believe in him.
Yeah, no, for sure.
It's not any,
has been the messaging.
This isn't like Astros lying, you know, every day or whatever. The Texans obviously believe in him.
They're giving them every chance.
But I don't know after week one or two if it's not going to change. Like, after week one or two, if this continues, how are you going to keep Cam Akers at 4? They got Cam Akers
No, they won't keep him at 4.
Yeah.
That's when they're going to bring in Cam Akers.
Yeah.
It's going to change the pace, and Cam will probably play better.
And Damian Pierce won't. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. A week or two, if he plays like he's been, they can't do him any favors for 17 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting because, like, how do you go work with your active players? Like, are you having 4 or 5 running backs active, right? Because we know Dare plays special teams, right? Joe is going to get your carries. That's 2 running backs. Are you going to have British Brooks active in order to use those fullback-type tendencies?
Then what do you do with,
Because that's three running backs there if you're putting British Brooks in. And even if you're not, right, three running backs active is a reasonable number of running backs to have active. Are you activating four?
With a Gumbawale, maybe. But that leaves Cam Akers on the outside looking in. If British Brooks is going to be your fullback.
Right.
You know?
Or do you maybe start with British Brooks not active and, and ask Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover to go back and
do
fullback
too.
Things again?
Yeah.
Just so to make sure that you're covering your you know backside if Dameon Pierce doesn't. But one of the things they talked about, opportunities, right? And, you know, if you have all those dudes, are you going to have enough opportunities for this to even look right? I don't know. But, yeah, I found that to be interesting. And thank you to the texter from the 619 for reminding me of that. Yeah, that thing that happened yesterday from the Texans PR. But, yes, one of the things that happened a few weeks back, actually, at training camp was Tank Dell. Don't call him Nathaniel. He sat down with the pivot pod, Ryan Clark, Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder. And one of the things that's obvious about this show, every time that they sit down with a player, those players are so familiar and comfortable talking with other players. You got a lot of great things out of Tank Dell. One of the big questions that we talked about even earlier today with Stephon Diggs, right? You have a lot of weapons. A lot of weapons when you talk about Stephon Diggs, when you talk about Nico Collins, when you talk about Tank Dell, you know, obviously Joe Mixon comes in as involved, Dalton Schultz, and you can even keep going after that. How is everyone going to stay involved in this offense, Tank Dell?
Man, Sammy's going to spread the ball out. Like, back in college, he played with, like, what, three, four?
Garrett, Chris.
You feel me? Jamie, he played with a lot of receivers on one team, man. Everybody was eating. Everybody was getting open. So that's the main thing. Get open. I feel like Coach Lloyd, he gonna call the plays for everybody. Like we already had conversations. Like he gonna make sure like he got a set of plays for this guy, set of plays for this guy. And when he ready to call him, he just gonna call him out and everybody gotta be ready when they number call.
Maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid too much. This doesn't even resonate as a potential problem. I think it's confidence I have in Bobby Slowick, and you just heard Tank Dell talking about that. And it's confidence, really, in C.J. Stroud. This guy knows how to get the ball to people that are open.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Tank Dell made a good point. At Ohio State, he did have, like, three or four guys.
Five.
Yeah.
Six, if you're looking at the depth chart.
Yeah, he had a lot of guys, and everybody was eating. Mm-hmm. Everybody eats, B.
Yeah.
And it's a nice reassurance, the idea that Bobby Slowick also has, like, a set of plays designed for every player intentionally, right? So, I mean, obviously, then it becomes a management thing, right? If you do end up in a situation where, hey, somebody's not eating as much as maybe you think they should or what have you, one, are they getting open or are they in a place where they're being, you know, heaped attention upon? But then two, is Bobby Slowick then also being very careful and cautious on, okay, let's make sure that this happens? So that was a couple of things that I found interesting within that one, the idea that, first of all, if you're getting open, which means a defense is going to have to pick their poison, which is great.
Then you're getting the ball.
And secondly, you know, that there's already been some level of accounting and conversations that have been had about this on the inside. On the inside of, I said on the inside like they was in prison or something. But on the inside of the organization, which I think is really cool. In addition to that, Tank Dell on the Pivot podcast, we mentioned, we played this. Was it last week or last week. But I found this to be real interesting because, look, we talked about the fact that this team, this Texans team, went from not a lot of people believing in them, saying that they were stupid for trading away their first-round pick, to now having a year later being, you know, loved as a top third of the, you know, of the league type team, a team that has an opportunity to contend with the Chiefs in the AFC, all of those things. And so Tank Dell, like, talking about the shift in expectations here.
I feel like now, like last year was, let's prove everybody wrong. And now this year, it's like, let's prove everybody right. Like, last year, everybody was, oh, y'all can't do this. Y'all not going to do this. Y'all don't have enough talent. Like, people ain't, like, before this year, like, people ain't think Nico Collins was a star. Nico Collins came on the scene. Now everybody know, like, he's the number one receiver. And that's just the conversations. Like, now it's like, all right, everybody, now everybody, like, we know what y'all got. We know y'all can be this good. You got this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy, yada, yada. So it's now it's like, all right, let's prove them right. Like, since they think we could be this good, let's show them we could be this good. So I felt like in the conversation now, like, every day we harping on Super Bowl, like, not only just to get to the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. And that's just our mindset.
I mean, very succinct. I couldn't put it better myself. Yeah. Just a very easy way to do it and accurate. And you know that's resonating in that locker room, even though they keep saying we just got to worry about today and what's in front of you. They're talking Super Bowl. I mean, he just said it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's there's a level of honesty that I was, you know, trying to set up that when players get around players, there's just a different level of comfort that these guys have, and it's so comfortable that we're getting a little bit of a slight look into what the organization and what at least those guys in there think about some things. Look, I did find cut 7 here. Tank was talking about CJ, and I know some people, especially when we get to like areas of religion, especially outwardly, and sometimes with players, it can seem like it's put on. I found Tank Dell talking about this with how CJ is, and I think he brought it up himself. It was a fun little insight into him, Tank, and his relationship with CJ on this kind of topic, religion.
He don't just like when y'all see him talk about God. He don't do that like just because when cameras on or nothing like. We be having long conversations about, like, our faith and stuff like that. Like, we'll be in L.A. chilling in a hot tub, just chilling. And we'll have a long conversation, like, damn near forget we in a hot tub. We burning up. Like, we'll be having long conversations about, like, his faith and our faith and stuff like that. So, but people think that, like, they take that for weakness, I feel like. Like, CJ got, CJ,
oh, he got, he
you
got
feel me? Like, yeah, like, he talk, and he ain't only gonna talk it, like, he gonna walk it, and he gonna show you. People will see, I mean, he was a rookie last year, and people ain't get to see enough, I feel like, but as years come and time go by, people gonna understand and realize, like, he got that dog in him.
Oh, we've seen the hints this offseason. There's no question about that. We played some earlier when we were talking about the beef between he and EJ Speed and Zaire and all that stuff. And as far as like the religion thing, to me, it's like almost like a case by case thing. You can tell when it's authentic.
Yeah.
And you can tell when it's fake. Maybe it's person to person, and maybe I'm different than you. And when you see it, it is authentic with CJ Stroud.
Yeah. And the thing about that, right, being able to tell is like, it permeates in the way that they do things, and I think that's how this came up, was Tank talking about, he started talking about how the shooting affected him and some of those things, and I know that that's been talked about, but how that was a wake-up call for him, and that along with just his general disposition on like not being out a lot, I think that that's how you ended up in this place where they were talking about, man, even when they hang out, they just be in there talking about their faith and hanging out in the hot tub, things like that, which I found also a level of encouraging, and I know that sometimes the stereotype of, oh man, the players, why are you not in your playbook instead of like on vacation or whatever, right? That's too much. But they do have like this focus where it's work, but then also it's, you know, what are the things that are important in life? And I'm not doing, there's not a lot of distractions that seems like comes up.
Well, I think
in a lot of these guys' lives, including Tank Dell.
I think with CJ Stroud, the authenticity translates into it's part of why he is good.
Yeah.
You know, because he believes that his belief and his faith is part of why he's good, as opposed to, you know, the old Jack Easterby days and some of those when it was just a shield, it was just a ruse, it was just fake, and you could tell it, you know. But him, it's part of why he plays the way he plays, in his view anyway.
And why Tank Dell plays the way that he plays. On the Pivot Pod, they always ask, you know, what was your biggest pivot? And this was Tank's answer.
I say going JUCO for sure, like, because it was doubts. Now, it was doubts, like, do I really want to do this? Like, because my whole dream was to go to college for free education, get to play football on the next level, and then going JUCO is a risk. It could be a risk and a reward. So it's like, I don't know how I should take it because I'm already small. Like, they doubted me a year ago. Like, why would they change? What if I go JUCO and do the same thing I was doing in high school? I was balling in high school. If I go JUCO and ball in JUCO, if nobody want me, then it's back to square one. So it was a risk and a reward. So. And it was tough to live there, bro. I'm talking about the dorm rooms was nasty. People was nasty. And this is a crazy story, too. JB had us doing up-downs in the snow my first day. Everybody was quitting. Everybody was quitting. I'm talking about, I guess that's how he cut the roster down. First day, everybody doing up-downs. But, like, just looking back at it, like, man, if I knew for sure, if I wouldn't have went through that whole year, like, that was a tough year. I was broke, too. I ain't have no money. Like, I'm living in JUCO, and I was living off my girlfriend at the time. Like, hey, can you order me some pizza here? Can you send me money to go ride with these boys to go get some groceries or get something for my room type? So now I'm just looking back at it. It's like, man, I made it. I feel like if I make it out of that, like, this situation that happened with my leg, like, man, this is a piece of cake. Like, all I got to do is work. I'm used to it. I'm used to being at the bottom and going to get it, so...
That is so awesome. That's the epitome of betting on yourself. Dude went to Independence, Kansas.
That's right. And he was talking about he jumped in Kansas, or he stepped a foot in Kansas, and he was like, did I make the right decision?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, that's how Kansas looks. You step in Kansas, all due respect to Kansas, man. You step in Kansas and you're like, oh, there's not very much here, is there?
And, you know, the other thing that I kind of picked up when I heard that the first time, a lot of times a kid like him that maybe they have some interest in but some questions, teams will send them to the junior college. Like certain squads, let's say Kansas State or Baylor or whatever, says, we're not sure about you. We want you to go to Independence Community College.
Right, whatever the closest community college is that we have a relationship with the coaching staff.
We have a relationship with them. We're going to talk to them. We're going to keep up with you. And if you play, we're going to bring you. Maybe U of H did that. I don't know. But
No. The way that he was talking about it, he was at Alabama A&M, and he was like, well, let me go ahead and go to JUCO and then have an opportunity to then bounce. And he did. Right, it worked out very well.
On yourself, and it definitely worked out.
We also learned in the course of that he actually hates his name, Nathaniel, and is planning on changing that legally. So. Don't feel like you're doing some slick by saying like, oh, I know his name. His real name is Nathaniel Tank Dell. Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking to myself in particular. He likes to be called Tank. So shout out to Tank Dell. Looking forward to his resurgence when it comes to these Texans. And that begins again Sunday, week one against the Colts. So, in the loop, Sports Radio 610. And it feels like we're about time for, oh, that's right, Biggie's mixtape. What we got?
Yeah, so what everyday skill becomes suspicious if you're too good at it? 713-572-4610. Text them in, call in. Let
me
know.
Too good at something that makes people wonder.
Yeah, yep. That make you look a little suspect or somebody suspect.
Okay, let's do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. Before I ask the question, which was what everyday skill becomes suspicious if you're too good at it, I want to get to a couple things real quick. So I found an interesting, I guess, note or stat or whatever it is about Jared Goff. Did y'all see this?
What is it?
I don't think I did.
So Jared Goff will play 14 games inside of a dome this year. Only three of them are outside. So week 9 is at Lambeau Field. It might be a little chilly there.
Mm-hmm. Week 9, okay, yes. You're getting to a bad place.
Week 16 at Chicago.
Ugh. Oh, definitely.
Ugh. And week 17 in San Francisco.
Hell, that might be the closest, the coldest one.
How easy of a schedule that, I mean, or situation that is for somebody like that?
I mean, that's great for him. I think that that's what you want, especially for him. Like, he is one of those quarterbacks that if situations are right for him, he can be really, really good. But when they aren't, it's almost comical, and it's a great thing that he ended up in Detroit because the offensive line, fantastic for him. One of, I think, top three offensive line in the league probably when you look at that Lions offensive line. They give him a run game, but like if you protect him, you give him the opportunity to really throw that ball around the field, and he's capable of doing that. And I mean, how much better does throwing the football get when you can get play inside of a dome?
Yeah, I think, I mean, come on, every quarterback, not just Jared Goff. You go to C.J. Stroud right now. You want to play? How many games is it? 14?
14. 17.
Sign me up. Every quarterback says that. Sign me up. Perfect conditions. All good.
Do this have a potential possibly first round exit written all over?
Oh, because he'll be so used to.
If he somehow ended up playing at Lambeau Field again during the playoffs. Kid,
and then he ended up playing at L.A. for a while.
No, that's a good point.
Like I said, he's a Cali quarterback playing in the dome. He played in L.A.
All of a sudden, they get into some bad weather in the first round of the playoffs or whatever it is. And he's like, it's cold, man.
That could be a potential upset, man.
Yeah. That's not a bad point.
They seem to handle themselves okay in the playoffs this past year. I think that they might be beyond that. But that is an interesting note just to kind of be have out there. That's one of those things that we will resort to after the fact and trying to find the answer. Sometimes we find the result and then figure out what we think the reason was. And that might be one of those things that will definitely pop up if you have an early exit, particularly
if I'm
outdoors.
Dan Campbell, I'm possibly looking into practicing outside a couple times when it get a little cold.
Oh, they will.
Just to get used to it.
You know Dan Campbell, he'll probably be doing up downs with
Man
him.
Campbell.
That's his name, Man Campbell.
Yeah.
So, you guys are familiar with Laviscus Chenault.
Laviscus Chenault.
Yes, sir.
We are pretty familiar with him around here because he played for the Jags for a couple years. I was listening to a podcast with Marshawn Lynch, and somebody brung up Laviscus Chenault, and he thought this dude was a fake person.
To team guru, I tell you one thing. Seattle got a guy that I'm pretty sure he's going to make the team, Laviska Chenault. He's a
team guru. You just made that up right now.
Ain't nobody named Laviscus.
You just said
name Laviscus? Guys, this has to come out immediately.
You okay? Making up
Laviska Chenault?
Oh, I love Marshall.
Man. He's not necessarily a studious of the game, is he?
Well, I mean, Laviska Chenault ain't one that's just like everybody knows right off the top.
But you've heard of him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I think Laviska could absolutely slide under the radar.
Not only did he not hear of him, he thought it was a fake person.
Yeah.
He thought he just made that name up.
I mean, there's sometimes where I'll hear a name, I'm like, that's not a real name.
You're trying to troll me, aren't you?
I love Marshawn. Marshawn was just like, I'm not doing that. Like, yeah. You're not going to play
gonna
in my
get
face.
You're not going to get me this time.
You're not going to play in my face.
Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. All right, let's get to it, man. What everyday skill becomes suspicious if you're too good at it? I got a couple examples, so text them in 713-572-4610. I ran across this article on Reddit, and a lot of people just naming a lot of random stuff that some people are good at.
But if you just get too good.
It kind of give you a side eye a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, this was the first one. One man and his wife went to a shooting range.
Okay.
And fired a variety of guns for the first time. And his wife's accuracy was, with a Glock was expert level, to the point the trainer whispered to the guy, check her background.
Yeah. Well, why do you know how to do this already?
Check her background. You can't. Can you be that good and be an amateur? Like a first timer?
There are some people that just naturally get it. The question is as to why you got that in that level. That's
But expert, I would check her background. She worked for the CIA.
Yeah, that's a CIA operative.
At some point. You ever see the show, the Americans, the Russian agents that came over? And
Sleeper cell.
She might be
what's
Russian.
Happening there. Yeah. I could absolutely see that.
I got a couple more, too. So one man was so good at making fake money for movies that he got a visit from the FBI. They even told him he had to make the money look a little more fake.
But here's the thing, right? If I'm making the fake money for movies, you think I'm so dumb.
Yeah.
That I'm going to do that in such a public setting and then be like, you know what I might as well do? Counterfeit.
Yeah, but somebody
well, might. Well, I guess some, yeah, there but, are people that yeah. are dumb.
But if you get a knock from the FBI saying, yo, this is looking too
buddy,
real.
Buddy, it'll look like Monopoly money. You don't even have to. Don't got to tell me twice. But I guess in saying that, oh, man, people aren't that dumb, are they? People got out here doing check fraud on this. You, well, did you see all the people doing the chase hack or whatever? It's like, that's check fraud.
How about people on the set?
The feds will be at your door soon.
How about people on the set? Hey, somebody dropped a 20.
And oh, then all man, of a sudden, that was,
those are the bad ones. I have seen people like get like a fraudulent check or whatever, but they thought it was a real check. They go and try and deposit it, and now it's the whoop whoop. Everybody's like, yo, what are you doing here? Like, I'm just depositing a check. And no, you're not.
I found this on the set of the movie.
No, remember back in the day where they, when you tried to pay with money and people would try to see if it's real or not.
The old marker or whatever.
They still do that.
Have it ever been an issue where it was like, man, I don't know about this. And you like, I got it from the bank.
I can't remember
like,
that.
I've seen that.
Like, I ain't walking around with fake money. Yeah. Like,
I can't remember one.
Yeah.
I don't think I have personally had that happen to me, but I'm pretty certain that I've had someone close to me have that happen to them. And that's tough.
I had somebody that had a real hard time trying to figure out if this was real or not. And I'm sitting there like, what the like, I got stuff to do.
Right.
Man.
Let's move this along.
I ain't
along.
Walking around with no fake money.
I've seen good counterfeit money because, long story, but my neighbor across the street when I lived in Kingwood about 35 years ago, first moved here, worked for the Secret Service.
Oh, okay.
Secret Service, their main job is counterfeiting and stuff like that. And so he showed me some, and I was like, that looks like a $100 bill. I mean, it was so good.
Man.
Go ahead.
I got a couple more. Walking silently. That's me 100%. I'm a tiptoer.
Like,
for some reason, I could walk in the room. You would not know I'm there.
So you're a cat burglar. Okay. Yeah.
Pretty much. I scared many of people like that just walking in the room.
You're a quiet walker.
Yeah.
Noted. You got to be careful. Watch your back when Figgy's around.
Yeah. Well, more than anything, just don't talk. Say nothing about Figgy. He might be right behind you.
Is he right now? I can't tell.
Yeah. No, you could be sitting there and not say something. Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one. Being able to BS your way out of situations.
Yeah, man. People that lie too good.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you so good at concocting falsehoods? Why is that the case?
Yeah.
How often do you do this?
That's worrisome. Like, I'm always, you know, exactly what you said, that it starts to get a little bit unnerving, maybe a little suspicious. When I know somebody is lying and they're really good at it, I'm like, all right, this isn't his first rodeo or her first rodeo. Yeah,
or how about being with somebody who lied and you was there with that same situation?
And it was a lie.
And they just make it sound so good and believable.
Yeah.
You be like, you know what the thing is? I was with you when this happened.
And I understand that it kind of veers away from the topic that you've brought up, but it's not even the idea of like you lie too good. You lie for no reason. Those are the ones that get me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's not even the thing you should lie about. Why are you lying about this?
Yeah. No, that's bad. Another one, digging deep holes. If you're good at digging deep holes.
Put some bodies away?
Yeah, that was on the list. I think you should side-eye somebody.
I can dig that hole in 5 minutes. Uh-oh.
Why is that?
I'm pretty good at this. Go ahead.
Some ones that have come up on the text line as we've been talking about this. Somebody's mentioned that when they had to, like, unlock a door, and then their boss was looking at them sideways. And another one from the 346 is like, if you're unlocking locked doors.
Yeah, that is funny you said that. That's on the list. Knowing how to use a lock pick set to get into a house or a car quickly when somebody locked themselves out.
Hey, some of us have just been really intrigued by how a lock mechanism works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check my Google history, okay?
I never forget when I was a kid, my dad locked the keys in the car. And so it was cold. It was cold as hell. And he was just like, man, I can't believe this. And there was a guy just standing around at the grocery store.
Popped
like,
it.
I could do it for $20.
Holy.
That's a good hustle. He's a good hustle.
He went over there. He like, he wanted to find something.
Yeah.
He started digging deep into the window, popped the lock right open.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a little bit less capable of doing that in the way that we used to when the cars kind of became a lot more computerized, right?
But what he's talking about is those Slim Jims.
Yeah, man, the Slim Jims.
Those things will get it open.
I used to be pretty solid. Not great, but I used to be pretty solid with the wire hanger.
With the lock and hook. Yeah. We've all tried that.
You can make that shake.
Yeah. So what are you good at?
What am I actually
That would be
good
scary.
At? I don't know if I'm...
Like, if you're too good at it.
Yeah, I don't know if there's anything for me personally that I'm actually really good at, but one of the things that came to mind for me actually came up on the text line. If you're good at... if you're really good at... what's the right word? Conversions.
Oh, okay.
Why are you so... Especially, like, if we're talking about, like, weights and volumes... Why are you so good at conversions? Why can you do that in your head?
So you might have worked for the CIA. You know kilos to pounds?
Right. And you know dollars to various different currencies immediately off the top of your head. Why do you know? Why are you translating all this cash flow? Why is that the case?
I'm still unsure on kilos to pounds. I've traveled all over the world. Isn't it like three and change?
Buddy, you asking a long time. I am always asking a search engine whenever I need to find out things.
You know what I'm good at? And I don't know if it would be scary ultimately if I'm too good at it or not. I remember numbers like crazy. Like I told you all guys, I'm not going to do it now.
Why not? You scared? Yeah.
But I told you guys off air my credit card number, the code, and the number on the back. I mean, the expiration date and the code. I know all those. I know all my numbers on. I know my fishing license number.
Okay. Well, I guess you use that plenty.
But my driver's license, like numbers, I just, if I see them and I know that they belong to me or whatever, I just remember numbers.
I have a picture of my driver's license, my license plate right now on my phone because I don't even remember that well enough.
Yeah.
Yeah,
shout out to the 281 who said a kilo is 2.2 pounds. You are now on a watch list.
Yeah, I thought it was around three.
You can't be trusted. Real quick, I'm going to run through some that I got on the list right now. One man said he went back home from college and whooped his dad's butt in darts three times in a row. And his dad said, you've been at the bar too much.
This is true.
Yep.
This is true.
Along those lines, bar, casino, that type. If you're really good at poker, the one that came to mind, if you're good at pool, if you're unreasonably good at pool. Mm-hmm. Somebody said shuffling cards.
That's a good one.
That's on the list, too.
That's a good one right there.
Yeah, I actually know how to shuffle cards, too. Yeah. Make the little bridge and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's that. But then if you're just like, if you're moving quick, and I'm like, all right. You are operating. You might be in like those dark spots in the alley.
Yeah. Somebody else on this list said cleaning blood stains.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be problematic. Yeah. I would be questioning you.
Yeah. Remembering license plates. I cannot remember license plates to say. I don't even know mine.
Correct.
And the last one, having the knack to get out of a complicated relationship.
That's a talent. Like a good breakupper.
You've got a lot of experience in this, huh?
Yeah, I can't trust you like that.
Yeah, this is true, too.
Yeah,
billiards came up, shuffling cards. Somebody said, when your lady's too good in bed, where'd you learn that? Okay, very good.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, if she can dance too good, it's like, you dance like this for everybody?
All right. Shout out to all of our folks in healthcare. I know I'm joking, but apparently knowing that conversion, particularly with kilo to pounds, is something that is a must-have. And you know, of course, Houston, big time when it comes to healthcare. Yeah. So shout out to our healthcare workers that listen in the loop, Sports Radio 610. Hey, appreciate you, Fig. Always fun when we get a little bit of Figgy's mixtape, 120 every day here in the loop. Coming up next, we'll get more. And I just want to revisit some of what's happening with this helmet thing.
Yeah, I'm going to put the other one on next.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
For the get boys. That. Get for back the boys. On the YouTube because we're going to head off to the drive. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Final segment of the day for In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Mariachi Marvin Gaye himself.
You're darn right.
Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. We're getting ready to hand it off to our boys, Clint and Ron. Or as a big voice man said yesterday, Blonde Hughley.
Ron the Blonde.
That's right. He back in here with the do-rag.
He's giving it on this time.
The blonde hair got my man back in the do-rag game. And you know what? I appreciate it. I love it.
Look like 2004.
And then with my man Lopez, it looks a lot like, 1977?
1979.
All right.
Last time I wore this
with the helmet, he went back to the OG helmet.
Well, I did. I guess I owe it to Sean.
Yeah. So he's back in the gold helmet face mask, and I know his forehead is throbbing right now. If you've been watching the Twitch or whatever, actually, is this computer in the way, Fig? I want to make sure we're getting a good.
I know we got a nice good view.
Okay, excellent, view? Excellent. I want to make sure that the people can see that all show long, John Lopez has been handling up his debt to Sean Pendergast.
The MVP.
Wearing a helmet.
MVP John Lopez. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to brag, but you can brag.
wearing a helmet all show long because his Texas A&M Aggies lost in a Notre Dame Fighting Irish this past weekend. How's that experience been for you, by the way?
What, losing?
Sure. I was going to just talk about the helmet, but why not?
Oh, no. This helmet is actually... It did kind of like make me realize, man, it's been a long time. And I forget, like, your eyes, I guess, ultimately adjust.
Yeah, to just, where the face mask just isn't there anymore.
Because it's not adjusted now. It's
very clear that you have something in front of your face.
But when I played, you don't even notice it, you know? It's weird.
We got to get somebody slap you on the helmet when they come in.
Oh, yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah. I feel like if there was a person who would do it, Clint feels like that guy.
Clint would do it.
So
he's probably going to slap
we'll see if he makes it happen now that Figgy brought that up and put that out into the world.
Yeah.
Some things that you did not imagine that you would put into the world when it comes to these Astros. They managed to get their two games over 500 in that 18-game and 18-day stretch. They got through it pitching-wise. The pen was able to, you know, be sufficient through that, and now they're into, or, you know, they got a day off yesterday. It'll be Spencer Arrighetti going today in game two against the Cincinnati Reds, a weird split series of sorts because of Labor Day. So the three-game set continues tonight, but there's some things that, for you, Lopez, that you are just kind of amazed that you are able to say about the Astros right now.
Well, so help me out, because one of these I think is pretty important. But these are things that you never thought you would say about the Astros, even just, what, 2.5 months ago? The first one I mentioned yesterday, but there's an add-on to that. And that is, you know, if the Astros can just get through the Verlander start, they might be onto something.
Yeah, it's been an amazing place to find this team in because of the name that Justin Verlander has.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really does feel like the rotation is in a place where you feel confident about most everyone, except when Verlander comes around, because he hasn't gone. I mean, he's had trouble going five the last time he went out, typically around five.
Yeah.
And, you know, giving up some runs, things like that. The command clearly isn't in the right place. Like the mechanics, as Spo mentioned earlier today, not quite right, which is, again, to be fair, he missed a significant amount of time. Those are things that you need to refine. It's the reason why we have spring training and pitchers and catchers report earlier than everybody else. Those are things that takes a little bit of time to get together.
The add-on, though.
Yeah.
The add-on is, I think, if you had to start a playoff series tomorrow, unfortunately we don't.
Yeah.
Arrighetti, Hunter Brown, probably Fromber are your top three. What do you do with Justin Verlander? Obviously, his mechanics can get sorted out because he is such a, like I said earlier, kind of a scientist.
He has a lot of experience with his mechanics, right? He's played a whole bunch of seasons.
Yeah. But right now, like if you get going by performance and recent performance, it's not going to be Verlander.
No.
Which is interesting.
That is very interesting. A weird place to be. But, I mean, it's working, right? You've gotten great pitching out of this team, especially in the last month.
Other things you never thought you would say 2.5 months ago about the Astros. Thank God for Yonner Diaz. I mean, no, seriously, this guy has just been tearing it up. I looked at the numbers. I didn't put them down. But I want to say since, like, in his last 25 games, I want to say he's batting, like, 321 or 331 with, like, 29 RBI. He's got 78 RBI for the season. Yonner Diaz is legitimately doing exactly what we were hoping he was going to do last year with Martin Maldonado, Figgy, but he is legitimately coming through.
I'm so upset because I saw yesterday something on social media. I can't even remember which platform, but it was about Yainer Diaz and how his play compares to Martin Maldonado.
Oh,
and
God.
You can just imagine that the statistic was wild, seeing the capability that Yainer Diaz has shown at the plate and how that varies wildly where you were with Maldonado. And it's just it has been something that has been very great to have, to the point where you have to keep him in the lineup.
Yeah.
It makes the DH spot all that more important.
Absolutely.
Because If he's not behind the plate, you're having to slide him over to first base, or maybe if you have the opportunity and the luxury, you can put him at DH, but that's a bat that has to be in the lineup, and that's a great thing to have for sure.
Two more things that you never thought you'd be saying 2.5 months ago. The first one, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I want to know what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Espada is doing a good job.
I think so as well. In fact, that's been one of the places where I've definitely felt a little bit different coming, returning to the market, is I know that there's been some Joe Espada skepticism is the word that I'll use.
It was in this room.
Right? and the perspective that I have is a little bit different because I have a friend that's worked in kind of the minor league situation and scouting, that type of stuff. And one of the things that it seemed has been the case from a lot of people around is that Joe Espada has been well regarded in those circles. Obviously, having been a manager at that in the lower levels or whatever, is that he's well regarded.
Yeah.
And so seeing him step in now, of course, the context of stepping in with a team that has won World Series and has that level of expectation is a different one. But I've always kind of come to the table with a little bit of an expectation that he's well regarded and he'll probably handle himself well in those places. Now he's fallen in line with some of the just general Astros tendencies of sometimes not being the most truthful in things. But for the most part, when it comes to the baseball of it all, I kind of, maybe I was earlier to this, kind of expect him to do a good job. And as of right now, you can absolutely say that that's
and, and being well regarded doesn't necessarily translate when you move one spot
fair.
Over. One spot over.
That is, in that's the absolutely dugout. Fair. And, absolutely fair. And,
but to his credit, he was a guy that said, this is a good team. We're going to win. It's not going to be like this always. And lo and behold, not only has it turned around, but he's actually kind of been in the middle
six
of it.
Six-game lead with in the AOS. The moves.
Yeah, and six-game lead.
All right, before you get the last one, can I get in here that our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile? Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tens of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T or Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch.
That's right. And here's the one that I think is very, very interesting.
Okay.
Are we looking in the wrong place? Everybody talks about how small the margins are, especially with a team like this that is lost some pitchers, has some injuries. We know the story. We all talk about, the margins are so small. You got to get Kyle Tucker back, which, by the way, the Astros lie a lot, but they're saying in the next 3 to 5 days.
Yeah, the idea was he possibly could return in this series here against the Reds.
Yeah. Bregman, margins are so small. Got to get him back. Altuve, got to get him going even at a higher level. But that's not where I think the margins are smallest. They currently have the Astros, I'm talking about, They have the ninth most errors in all of MLB. They also rank 10th worst in one of those stats that you like, runs saved.
Yes.
Their defense is giving up cheap runs and not saving any runs.
Yeah.
That's huge in the postseason.
Absolutely. Those are the types of things that differentiate good teams from great teams is making sure that defensively you're helping your pitcher out as well. Obviously, you want to make sure that the pitcher's doing great things, but behind them, that needs to be better. And that's one of the places where it's been problematic. It's one of the reasons why this Astros team is gone and just added all sorts of different outfielders. Obviously, you want the offensive production, but you need to make sure that defense is there. It's one of the reasons why, as you mentioned, not having Bregman is a big deal. It's not just the offensive output. It's also the idea that he's played a really good hot corner, right? Like, he's played good at third defensively. Those are things that are absolutely necessary, and those are things that when they take a step down, it changes the way that all this stuff plays out.
You can get away with kicking around the ball and still win some games, here and there, but not consistently in the postseason.
Those are the things that, a play here or there can really shift an entire playoff series.
Yeah.
Those margins, as you mentioned, the margins may be thin in the regular season, but in the postseason, that's where it all is. I mean, that's why things like, the Buckner play, right, for Boston is something that is regarded and still talked about to this day, is because a single play can change the shape of an entire playoff run. And so making sure your defense is up to snuff is going to be a huge one. That's one, though, of all the things that you mentioned, right, that you can talk about, that's one where I do wonder, where is the solution there? Is it simply Bregman being healthy enough to go when that time comes?
See, I think that's the biggest worry,
right? Is there an answer that's on the horizon in any way for the Astros?
It just happens year to year. One year you're a good defensive team, and the Astros have had a lot of years of being a good defensive team.
Right.
And then when you're not a good defensive team, it just sticks. And that's just what you are that season. So that would be my biggest concern going forward.
Is your head bumping yet?
It's killing me.
As we welcome in the drive, Clint, Ron, afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Nothing like walking in on a conversation about one play changing the season. And If there's anybody qualified to talk about that in this building, it's me.
Y'all know I love Arkansas.
I was waiting for somebody to bring me a Tennessee Volunteer comment, a joke, or something. I'm sure the text line did that for me.
Yeah. Get out in front of it, huh?
I didn't know where the boys were going with that.
But
Reg didn't cut his eyes at me, so I knew I was safe.
No.
Usually when that comment's coming, I get the old eye. Check me over here.
Here we go.
Clint, I don't think we're good enough for me to do that, Josh.
Oh, hell yeah, we are.
Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't certain that we were
good enough. I wouldn't believe that. He's talked about multiple fights he's been in.
Now, right. I would think less of you if you didn't have an opportunity and you didn't poke a bit. Now, if we're out and about and you're doing it and you're trying to get the guys and the gals sitting around to laugh, we may have a little bit of a problem.
Okay, all right.
You know, I'm not going to be the ass in no joke now. But the fellas talking, I'm good with it. You're in, if you feel comfortable, bring it, baby.
All right, I appreciate that. Do you guys appreciate what Lopez has here paying off his debt with the helmet?
I'm not sure they noticed.
Yeah, I missed it. Yeah, just like you didn't notice me.
That's solid. That's solid.
This is 1979, man.
Talking about leading with the crown. Damn, Lopez.
Was that all 4 years?
That was 1 year, baby.
That was 1 year, huh? Yeah.
1 year of work where he took all the paint off the front of that helmet.
It explains a lot, doesn't it?
Damn.
Yes,
it does. You use your head.
Like, you're the reason why they put all these rules in, guys like you.
This era
I bet
is.
You used to come off and just headbutt people.
Coached you to. I had a coach who said, "Hit him with your hairline. Hit him with your hairline." That's all they taught. We did all that stuff. It was ridiculous. When you think about it now, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Look, the ridiculous part of it too, and this is one of the things about what's going on today in the game, which I want it to be a safer game. Let me put that out there first.
No.
But basing a lot of what we do today on the era when they were doing that, I don't know how accurate that is. You know what I mean? We had Oklahoma drill twice a day
in the ring.
That was still in when I was there.
Let's be honest. Darren Woodson laying somebody out across the middle is not why guys can't talk and walk and when they hit 50. I mean, it's the only reason. It's that right there, Lopez. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that and this other helmet. I don't know. Did you see the secondary helmet?
Well, yeah. I mean, there may be some guys like
the other one. Yeah.
Fellas that wore that are struggling today.
That Ray Nitschies?
Either dead or struggling.
But still being taught what you was taught.
One more thing before we get out of your way, I did want to check in with you, Ron. How are we feeling about it after another day?
Oh, same as we was before.
Okay, so what we can do for you is we can leave the leather helmet. You can put that one on, cover it up.
Nah, I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it. And I'm going to get hot in that sucker. So, I ain't going to do that. But nah, man, it didn't get better.
I mean, lean into the idea. Look good, feel good, play good.
You
do look good. Don't let nobody tell you nothing different.
It's actually not bad.
It isn't.
Okay.
It really isn't. And, you know, the drive is always going to be good. It's always going to be good.
Hey, you look normal too, Jeff.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to KILT, KILT, HD2 on Odyssey Sports Station. And the drive is live.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.